Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Brian Annis. I'm the connecting pastor, and it's my joy to be here with you this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all our moms. Mom, if you're watching, I love you, Mama. Blessed with an amazing mom that I love very much, and happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife, the amazing mother of our three girls. Super blessed by your mother heart. But we're going to, today, we're going to close out our series on Strong in the Storm. And as we do, this morning, as Kirk shared, just aware that today is Mother's Day, and perhaps nobody understands the daily storms of life like moms, always there for us in those. But I want to widen our audience this morning to all of us, because just like last week, Kirk taught us that what Jesus said. He said, hey, in this world, you'll have troubles. But take heart, I've overcome the world. See, there's a reality of the gospel, the good news that we need to be awakened to this morning, that inherent in the good news is that there's bad news. And the bad news sets up the good news, and that's what we want to talk about and share today. Regardless of what storm you're in or about to be in or whatever that looks like in your life, whether it's relational, whether it's health, whether it's job, financial, we all have to come face to face with the reality of the storm. But what I want to share with you this morning is my own personal experience a little bit and looking at Scripture to see one of the heroes of the faith and how to respond in the storm, like what God's looking for. Because really, we have our own perspective of the storm of life, and then there's God's perspective on the storm. And so what we need this morning is a biblical perspective. Like what we need this morning is the perspective of Jesus on and in the storms. You ever notice that in a storm, there's really two kinds of people? People that go through the tough things, and those that maybe suffer or are going through a hard thing, and somehow, supernaturally, they have this peace, this strength, this resolve, that their faith gets stronger, and we just admire that. Or the other side is a response that maybe we suffer through it, or we survive the storm, but maybe it still lingers with a bitterness or a resentment or a fear. So what's the difference in those responses? Because we all know we'd want the first one to be the one that we choose and have, right? What's the difference in the two? And I just submit to you this morning that there's really one key thing that I see in the life of Jesus, I've experienced personally and in Scripture, that is the key to unlock the door for the Holy Spirit to move in us in the midst of storms. Like there's one thing, and that's what I want to dive into. But I wanted to share and start off with just sharing a little bit of my own personal experience with you. When I was 4, I lost my dad to a car accident. And many of you know the storm of losing loved ones. When I was 18 years old, I had a water skiing accident where the rope wrapped around my hand and the rope basically took my hand off. Many of you have seen the scar and asked the question about what that is and what happened. And the excess rope bounced off the water and actually wrapped around my neck. And so I shouldn't be here. But by the grace of God, the rope broke. And I don't know if you know anything about nylon ski ropes, but they don't break. We've pulled cars with them before. So I'm still standing. And the person that pulled me into the boat was Kirk Freeman. Rushed me to the hospital. They reattached my hand in a 26-hour surgery. Still holds for the longest surgery in Hillcrest Hospital history in Waco, Texas. Woo, yeah, I don't know what that means. There were a series of miracles and things that I really don't have enough time to get into, but by the grace of God, my hand was reattached, a couple years of therapy and more surgeries. that changed the course of my direction of my life. And many of you know that storm. Something sudden happens. Fast forward about a decade ago, we moved to San Antonio to come join Crossbridge and reconnect with my friend, Kirk. And because of a blood transfusion back 20-something years ago during my accident, I found out I had hepatitis C. And I don't know if you know anything about hepatitis C, but it's a virus that manifests in the liver, turns to cirrhosis, liver cancer, and then eventually can potentially kill you. Many of you know that storm. That all you thought was pretty important is really not that important. And I entered into this treatment, new trial with this radical chemo that was, it was beyond words to describe. I've never, the weakening, I mean, the chief side effects besides like depression, and they were so many as they listed them, was this sense of weakness, like you have the flu times 100, and then it gets worse every day for a year. And I can't express in words what that weakening effect. And many of you, if you've been at Crossbridge, you remember when we were at Reagan Auditorium watching me shuffle up on a Sunday morning. During that time, it was all I could do just to hold my arms open and just ask Jesus to give me the grace for that moment. And the Lord, after a year, chose to heal me. And that's incredibly humbling. A year to date from there, my wife was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And we went through again a season of surgeries, radiation, chemo. And many of you know that storm of watching a loved one go through something that's incredibly painful and hard. And I would go through mine 100 times over. The Lord miraculously healed Debbie. And I don't pretend to play God to know why he chooses sometimes to heal and not to heal. It's not my role to do that. But I know well the reality of the storms. I know well what happens in the storms. And how God wants to speak today, I believe, is to illuminate and draw out his perspective for all of us. Because if it's not us, it'll be someone we know. The storms are real. The key is in my response. What kind of response is God looking for? Let's, as always, look into the Word of God. Isaiah 66, chapter 2, or verse 2 says this. This is who God's looking for. This is what God's looking for. Someone who is humble and contrite in spirit, who trembles at my word. I just submit to you that key that unlocks the door is humility. It transforms the circumstances of the storm into glory. I can't understand it all. I just know it to be true personally and in Scripture. And we see it in the life of Jesus. If you read Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells us, hey, Jesus humbled himself to become a man, a human. He emptied himself and became a servant, obedient until the point of death, even death on a cross. God, Jesus. And it began with humility. And because of that beginning of humility, it ushered in him to be able to fulfill the purposes with which God sent him. So if we look at that response we want, let me just suggest this one principle that if you can grab a hold of, you say, what was that sermon about? Just remember this. Humility is the door that opens the way for the Holy Spirit to come in and work in us and through us in the storm. And order matters with God. He does his work in us, and then he'll do his work through us. See, when God sees humility, it's like a magnet. Like the Holy Spirit is like drawn like a magnet to humility. And we don't hear this taught a lot because it's not really espoused by our world. Our world is more be all you can be and self-exalting, not God-exalting. But a kingdom of God lifestyle involves storms and emanates out of humility. And it's important for us to understand that we need to humble ourselves before God, his word, and people. We need to humble ourselves before God because he is almighty, sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful, Lord Jesus, King of the universe. And then there's me. And when I see the gap there, this is what the Bible describes as the fear of the Lord. There's this reverence and awe that should emanate from a sense of humility because I'm in the presence of someone greater and not just a little bit greater, like all the greater, whatever that means. And we need to humble ourselves before his word. Isaiah 66 says we need to tremble at his word. We need to tremble. Why? Because his word is powerful. It's living. It's active. It moves. And if you're in a storm or if you've been in a storm, you know what I mean, because the word of God is like your source of sustenance in for hope and life in the midst of trying circumstances. You need the promises of God. You claim the promises of God. And we're in an illusion when we're not walking that way. And because we don't walk in humility, we just see words on a page and think, well, that's really nice to know. But when we're in that place, it's important to understand how powerful the Word of God is. And we need to humble ourselves before people, specifically before the family of God. Because God has made us relational beings. And there is this, it works in the principle of humbling ourselves before one another and placing the other's needs above our own. And when we humble ourselves before others, God just, there's this dynamic that is unleashed, right? Because humility opens the door for the Holy Spirit. You open the door for the Holy Spirit and other people to speak into you, to minister to you, to bless you, to encourage you. But if not in humility, we don't do that. In the storms, we're vulnerable. All of us. We're vulnerable because our self-response in a storm is to go to self. We don't gravitate to God. We gravitate to self. And what do? Either we over-control. I'm going to fix it. And if you've been in a storm, big one, you understand that is a time bomb and does not work. Or you shrink back. You shrink back. You keep it in. You don't talk about it. You hope it goes away. And either of those responses leads to nowhere. And because here's the deal. Satan's in the storm. He wants to pry on your emotions and the circumstance to twist, deceive, and lie and pull you away from the source of hope. That's what he does. And because we're vulnerable, we fall prey to that at times. But here's the power of the gospel. But the good news is God is in the storm. God is in the storm. Make no mistake about it. He sees your storm. He understands your storm. And most importantly, he's with you in the storm. And somebody needs to hear that today. And perhaps nobody understood that more than in the Bible, more than Job. If you have your Bible, turn to Job chapter 38. And I want us to just look. This passage was incredibly impactful to me personally when I was going through my treatment. I had one of those out-of-body experiences, encounters with God in my office, reading these last four chapters of Job, where God just broke me, you know? Like, fall down, weeping, just broke me. He was emptying me. I had a tremendous amount of self-sufficiency in me, and it needed to go. And it was like a salt shaker with a little bit left, and it was, you know, coming out. Because he knows I'm hard-headed at times. Job chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. God's in the storm. God speaks. God speaks. Are we listening? Not if we're not approaching him in humility. But listen to what he says. This is intriguing to me. This is a conversation between Job and God. And he didn't go, hey, Job, let me explain why all you got everything taken away from you. Let me explain why you lost everything. Why everything's so hard. Let me show you kind of what I was thinking. And no, listen to this conversation. God says to Job, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I'm going to question you. You're going to answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? That one broke me. Tell me if you understand. Who marked off the dimensions? Who stretched off the measuring line? Where were the footings set? Who laid the cornerstone? What about the morning stars, the angels? Who shut up the sea behind the doors? What about the clouds? Who fixed the limits? Who set the doors and bars of the sea in place? Who said the proud waves must stop here? Have you given orders to the morning? I could go on for, and he does, two more chapters. Of every natural order that God set in motion. And then there's Job. Flip over to chapter 40, two chapters later. And Job says, and you can begin to hear the humility coming out. So listen for it. Job says, I'm unworthy, verse 4. How can I reply to you, God? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. And he goes on again for two more chapters, talking about every animal under the sun, from the ostrich to the whale, of everything God created. And again, this two chapter revealing of God, of his greatness. And the last chapter is verse 42, 1 through 6. And this is the last chapter in Job. And listen to Job's response now. Job replied, I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours will ever be thwarted. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Things too wonderful, wonderful for me to know. My ears had heard, but now my eyes see. I've seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. There's a humility that has come upon Job that God is drawn to. And we know the end of the story where God restores Job and everything multiplies out those blessings in his life. And I don't know where you are in the storm or what storm, but I'll say this. Humility is the door that opens the way for the Holy Spirit to come and move in you and through you. And let me just give you three practical ways that this looks. So some of you are like, okay, that's great, but what do I do with that? Of choosing the gospel in the storm. Choosing the good news of Jesus in humility, what does that look like? Number one, we can either keep things hidden, because that's our natural response, or we can get into the light. Get into the light. Psalm 119 says that the Bible is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need the illuminating word of God to show us perspective, God's perspective in the storm. If we don't, we're going to have our own, and it's going to be focused on my emotions and the circumstances, and I will get sucked right down in the drain. We need the illumination of the word of God. But if I don't approach the word in humility, they're just words. Secondly, the way you get it into the light is to share it. You need to share your burden. You're not meant to carry this thing alone. Whatever it is, whatever it is. But that takes humility. Let me just give you a litmus test of a couple of questions. They're not definitive, but do I ask people for help? It takes humility. How often do I ask people to pray for me? I'm only sharing out of lessons I've learned myself, and I've done it both ways and imperfectly. But humility is the door that opens the way for the Holy Spirit. Secondly, I can either handle it myself. I can try that. I can do this. Or I can go to Jesus. And you may think, well, that's simple. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the story when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus and the storm came, the literal storm, the wind, the waves? What did the disciples do? They're freaking out. And then they went and got Jesus. Jesus speaks into the storm, the wind and the waves died down. And I'm not saying that your circumstances will immediately change, but I can be different in the storm. My attitude, my response can be different when I do this, when I go to Jesus. Personally, there's a couple of things that helped me, if this is helpful for you. One is to journal the journey. And I'll just say, I used to say, I'm not a journal guy. Pride. Call it what it is. I was overwhelmed with emotions and pain that I didn't know what to do with. And I'm just saying there's something supernatural in writing down and handing over all of that to God. And then the good news is listening for him to speak into that storm and into me in a way that I need it at that moment. And just something happens in that transaction. I'm just submitting it for you. Second, you need to pray with others in the family of God. You can pray by yourself, but again, this dynamic of humbling yourself before people. Go to Freedom Prayer, ask for people in your life group to pray for you, but ask for people to pray. There's something about speaking a need out loud and then receiving the truth and the power of what the Holy Spirit might want to speak into you in the midst of that storm. And then lastly, worship. Worship and praise Jesus. When you can worship in the midst of a storm, when you can hold your hands up and worship God, something supernaturally powerful happens. He just floods in his grace in a way that is hard to describe because worship and pride cannot coexist. Worship is exalting Jesus, not self. Because humility is the door that opens the way for the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Lastly, we can either survive and strive in the storm. Maybe we make it through. Or we can recognize and receive the blessings. And let me just give you a few of the blessings that I know many of you know well. Chief of which is intimacy with Jesus. Something about the storm that we recognize our dependence on God. And because of that, we have an incredible closeness with Jesus in a storm that wouldn't have been there apart from the storm. Second, we grow in Christ's likeness. We share in his sufferings, we share in his glory, and this is, you see this over and over in Scripture. And we share in his sufferings, it's generated this character development inside of us to be like Jesus. Third is the power of interdependence. See, when we're weak enough to realize we need others, we recognize the power of interdependence. And I remember during some of my treatment time, people of Crossbridge, mowing my lawn, caring for my family. Family, when one part suffers, we all suffer. 2 Corinthians 1 says that God is the Father of compassion and comfort, and he comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in theirs. And lastly, there's a witness to the world. I asked Kirk if I could borrow his megaphone. Honestly, the storms are a megaphone. Because if you choose the response we talked about in humility and the good news of Jesus in the storm, they speak loudly to a world looking for hope. Because that's a different response. It's otherworldly. Someone sees that response and they go, wow, that Jesus thing, that must be for real. They see the people of God gather around them in that time and support them, love them, encourage them, bless them, help them. They go, wow, that church thing's for real. Humility is the door that opens the way for the Holy Spirit to come in and work in us and through us. There's a book that was tremendously impactful for me. It's called Humility. It's by Andrew Murray. It's a tiny book. You could read it in a very short amount of time. But if something's stirring in you about this morning, go on Amazon and get it. It'll bless you. It wrecked me in a good way. But I want to close with a time to respond, because I don't know where you're at right now, whether you're in the midst of a storm or what God was speaking to you about in regards to humility or choosing the gospel. But let's do this. Why don't you just close your eyes for just a minute. And I'm just going to give you a chance to ask the Lord how to respond. But real quickly, we're going to do a time of prayer and letting you respond in ministry. I need men and women in an act of humility who are willing to pray for others. Whether you've been through a storm or you're just willing to say, I'm going to bless someone this morning. I need men and women to just stand up and move around the outside edges to pray for people, okay? So you begin to do that as the rest of us close our eyes and reflect for a minute. Maybe your response right now is the Lord's been speaking to you about pride, or maybe you didn't know there was that self-sufficiency there, but you desire a greater humility before the Lord. You just want it, and you just want, as an act of humility, you just want someone to pray that into you, because you want to open the door more for the Holy Spirit to impact you. And so maybe you just want to ask for someone to pray that into you. Maybe You're in a storm now, and your step of humility is to come forward and to just say, I need someone to pray. You're going to open the door to the Holy Spirit in this person to pray into you, and you're just holding your arms going, I need it, I want it, God, speak into me. And that's your act of humility this morning. Or maybe you're walking, sharing someone's burdens, and someone's going through something, and you feel it, and you want to help, but you don't know how. Maybe you just need to come and ask in humility how to open the door wide for the Holy Spirit to work through you. Or you have any need whatsoever, you just come forward, you open the door, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you through these prayers and in this worship time. We're just opening the door. Would you open the door? Let him minister to you. Let him speak into you. Let him speak into your storm.